When I started scrutinizing my field guides as a brand new birder, one of the birds I quickly became obsessed with trying to find was the Everglade kite. I was intrigued with the very idea of calling any raptor a kite, so obviously had to look up the etymology. Kite comes from the Middle English, from Old English kaita, akin to Middle High German kues for owl. That struck me as especially odd because owls are rather sedentary, or when they do fly, fly direct, while as a verb, one definition of kite is to go in a rapid, carefree, or flighty manner. That intrigued me, but even so, I doubt if I'd have become obsessed with the Everglade kite if I hadn't read the species entry about it. The Golden Guide said that it feeds solely on a freshwater snail, Pomacea, which it removes from shell with its long, hooked beak. Imagine a beautiful hawk that eats just one thing, a big snail, and has an amazingly curved, sharp bill pretty much worthless for anything except pulling out the snail innards from the shell. Of course I wanted to see one. I never did see an Everglade kite before the American Ornithologists Union changed its name in 1983 to the snail kite, the name already used for the same species where it lives in the Caribbean and Central and South America. In 1988, Russ and I took our children on a wonderful family vacation to Florida. We camped in Everglades National Park, and my whole family was patient and tolerant while I stood in the parking lot of the Miccosukee restaurant along the Tamiami Trail, scanning along the canal where snail kites were supposed to hunt. It didn't take too many minutes, although I'm sure it felt much longer to my kids, before I got a glimpse of an adult male way off in the distance. I didn't wait for it to get closer because it seemed too much of an imposition on my kids. I got an equally unsatisfying look in the same area in May 1997 when Russ and I went back. Then last month, Russ and I went down to Florida for a few days. We spent the last morning at a little urban park just outside downtown Kissimmee, Brinson Park on Lake Tehopacalaga, to see what we could. And even before the sun had risen, a stunning adult male snail kite flew right past us close enough that even my little dog Pip took notice and landed in a nearby tree. Like my trusty old Golden Guide said, but I'd never before experienced, it really was tame. The low light made for low-quality photos, but the close distance almost made up for that. I got to enjoy him for several minutes before he finally took off. 20 minutes or so later, I spotted one way out in the shallow lake sitting on a sign. I spent a lot of time watching limpkins searching for and eating apple snails. That relative of cranes happens to be another snail specialist. And suddenly I noticed an adult male snail kite, possibly the same one as earlier, on a nearby power line over a sidewalk with people running and walking along right below it. By now, the sun was high enough to provide perfect lighting and the bird tame enough to let us get close for full-frame photos. I got to see that amazingly sharp, curved bill, the perfect snail extraction tool, up close and personal. I got pictures from almost every angle, and then the bird got restless, pooped, and took off, allowing me to get a few flight shots showing the white band at the base of the tail. I was surprised to see snail kites at such an urban park, but I shouldn't have been. It's been my go-to place to see limpkins since I saw a bunch there back in 2005. If there are enough snails to support a whole population of limpkins, it makes sense that snail kites would eventually join in too. I was thrilled at everything about this, thinking it was a great conservation success story. But when I looked into it, I discovered that the reason so many limpkins have been living in the park for the past decade is not that Florida's declining native apple snail population is burgeoning again. Tomorrow, I'll explain. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.